Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week we have Never Say Never to open up the show after the news. The first premium live event by MLW in like 4 years or so. So excited to see how that turned out. Alex Kane, Alex Hammerstone, World Heavyweight Championship in that main event. And then we will follow it up with MLW Fusion 173. Is it going to be a lame duck show? What are they going to do? What's going to happen next? How are we going to enter this brave new world of Major League Wrestling? And there are only two ways to find out. One, watch Fusion and never say never. Or two, you could listen to this here podcast. But first, let's talk some news, shall we? I'm going to get one last plug in before it all goes away, and it might be too late by the time y'all get to listen to this, but once again, MLW Confusion is sponsoring professional wrestling, putting my money where my mouth is. We're going to Bluegrass, Iowa at the Bluegrass Drive-In Theater for SCW Pros, It's Still Real to Me, the sequel. Oh, lots of action to be had. The SCW World Heavyweight Championship will be defended as JT Energy takes on Matt Mayday, but you might know him as Crotch. Yeah, that's what we're doing. That being said, 8:30 Saturday the 15th, SCW does a really good show. I thoroughly enjoy the product. So if you're in Eastern Iowa or within driving distance of Eastern Iowa, you should come check it out. I'll be there. I might be accosted again. Who knows? Probably not. As far as I know, there's no malicious cowboys booked for this here show, so I might be safe this time. But let's move over. Let's move over to MLW, because that's the real reason you listen to this here podcast, right? Maybe. Or you just like the crazy guy in his mom's basement screaming at microphones, swinging tennis rackets. Anywho, a bit late, so this match technically happened already, but I got the announcement for it after we recorded the last episode. But we're going to have a Bomaye tryout match as Mr. PWI Jay Bougie takes on the Bomaye's Mr. Thomas. Jay Bougie has been trying to kind of like work his way into the Bomaye's, being a part of the Fight Club running crew of Alex Kane, and here's his baptism by fire to join the official ranks of the Bomaye's. He has to get through Mr. Thomas first. That happened at the Fusion television tapings prior and after Never Say Never. So as I said, it technically happened, but we haven't got a chance to see it yet. But Bougie's been making his name on the indies, and hey, Mr. Thomas is in the ring. That hasn't happened in a bit. In other news, we are getting the next stop on the premium live event, pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it, stop. MLW is coming back to Philly September 3rd for Fury Road, once again at the 2300 Arena, and if you can't be there in person, of course, it will be live on Fight Plus. No matches have been officially announced as of yet, but of course, in the press release, we got a whole list of folks that are scheduled to compete and or appear, including Alex Kane, the rest of the Bomaye Fight Club, Jacob Fatu, Willie Mack, Mance Warner, The Calling, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, the one called Manders, Matthew Justice, Pop Superstar Becca, Snitsky, Matt Stryker, Joe Dombrowski, screw that up, especially when I get going. Mr. St. Laurent, plus much, much more. Sorry, Joe. Joe Dombrowski. Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. I've always, like, buggered that their name up, haven't I? Anywho, that's where we're going. Gonna take a deep breath, and let's just dive into some premium live event action. Aw, yeah. All right. Let's talk about Never Say Never. I know that, well, myself and the guys at the UWN have covered a good chunk of it. And, well, let's be frank. The guys are awesome. They do wonderful commentary. Obviously, I'm part of it. I don't just hop in with anybody. But, you know, you, the intrepid listener, and I have not had an opportunity to discuss this amongst ourselves. And here, our extended opinions. Let's go. It's been about a week. We've had a chance to digest it. Let's talk about it. Never Say Never, the first premium live event in nearly 4 years. This one hosted by Fight TV, or Fight Plus, technically. So let's go over it. Let's see what happened from this warped point of view. The show starts off with a big fight, Hammer versus Alex Kane hype. It's gives the full rundown of kind of the rise of both competitors and how they've come to each other, cross paths. That's the phrase I'm looking to have. How they have crossed paths with each other. Very well done. Very professional. Gets you hyped for the main event tonight. So if you didn't know Alex Kane versus Alex Hammerstone was the main event tonight, you knew, and you knew it was going to be a big deal. We get our opening shots, the match introductions by Joe Dombrowski and Alex Stryker. Matt Stryker. I don't know where. There's just too many Alexes going into things, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'm drunk again or something. But they're welcoming us to the show. They've been the regular commentary team, of course, for MLW for a wee bit now. And we go to our first match. It is going to be for the National Openweight Championship. Heavyweight Hustle, Calvin Takeman taking on the Samoan Werewolf, Jacob Fatu. Fatu has new tights for the event. Very fancy. He's taking this here match seriously. The bell rings. We start off hot and heavy. It's just nothing but dodges and counters by two big men who are trying to slap meat, but it's just not working. We finally get a cactus clothesline over the top rope by Tankman. Fatu hurts his knee on the way down. He'll be nursing that for the rest of this here match. They fight outside forever. The referee doesn't initiate any sort of countouts. Like, he's obviously biased towards not refereeing. Biased towards having a job. I don't know. He has one job, and it's the count, and he can't do it when everyone's fighting outside the ring. Anyway, Tankman misses a somersault into the chair from the ring apron. This finally allows Fatu to fight back inside the ring. Fatu gets all these strikes in, but takes too long off a splash. Pounce by Tankman. I love a good pounce. Followed by a dive. Pump handle driver by Tankman for two. Fatu goes for the handspring moonsault. Gets two because his knee's all jacked up in the process. Fatu goes for a regular moonsault off the top rope, but his knee buckles, but he hits a springboard style Hurricane Rana. Swanton bomb for two off the top rope by Fatu. And as out of nowhere, we get a flash whisper in the wind that gets Fatu the victory, and still National Openweight Champion Jacob Fatu. Fatu gets on the mic. He offers praise for Tankman, honorary Oos style thing, talks about love of their children, etc. A really good match. I did get skeptical at various points because of Fatu's selling of the knee, but overall they worked it well into the match and worked it well into the offense. I did not see that that win coming the way it did. Like, don't get me wrong, I expected Fatu to win, but I didn't expect it to come just like out of nowhere with the whisper of the wind like that. But good match. Both are big men who can go in the ring, very agile. So if this is your first time seeing them, like, totally check it out. It was great. Next, we get the Ava Everett hype video. It's Sam Laterna. She's with Ava. She's taking the belts back to Germany. Alex Kane and his entourage arrives. The Beaumier Fight Club is Beaumier-ing outside. Gonna Beaumier inside the ring later tonight. Oh. But speaking of Ava Everett, it is time for the title for title women's championship match as Ava Everett, the WXW women's champion, takes on Delmi Exo, the MLW featherweight championship. Both titles on the line. Will we get a clean win here? Only one way to find out. Just let's keep on listening. Ava starts the match just trying to run away with both the belts. However, Delmi catches her and returns her to the ring. Ava donks Delmi on a dive to the outside. Ava hits a face wash for two and continues to work over Delmi's head. big spine buster for two by Delmi. Lope Suicida and a front dropkick by Delmi. Y2 cutter by Ava, which is her big move, I'm told. That only gets a two count. False finish there. Exploder into the corner, and the Delmi driver by Delmi leads to a new champ. Gets the three count. Delmi Exo is the new WXW Women's Champion, and of course, the MLW Featherweight Champion as well. She's pulling double duty here on out. It was a sprint of a match, and no complaints to be had. As I said with the video with the guys, I wasn't very up to date on Ava's work, but I'll be darned if I didn't know what an Ava Everett was after this here match. She brought it. Delmi held her own, because the only, you know, a champion's only as good as her competition, and this match felt important for both the belts. We get note that MLW is coming live pretty much monthly from here on out, with dates September 3rd, October 14th, November 18th, and December 7th. The big live event's going to be on Fight Plus. The only one that's been formally announced is the September show, which I haven't scribbled down at the time of this here recording, because everything went too fast. I didn't want to pause it, because I'm trying to watch a live pay-per-view here, folks. You're lucky I scribbled these notes here as well as I did. Up next, our next match is the, like, my low pick for what should have been the match of the night, just because I love the style. Timothy Thatcher taking on the Hot Sauce, Tracy Williams. These are just two ugly guys that are experts in submission wrestling, at a modified version of the catch style. Bell rings, so we get a lengthy tie-up and lots of stretching and countering to start off the match, which is pretty much what I expected. Like, it's pretty even until Williams tries to go to the top rope and Thatcher just yanks him off. We get a strike battle, which Thatcher wins that as well. Thatcher pulls Williams off the top rope again. However, in the process, Williams hits a DDT that's technically a two count, but doesn't look good. The ref is checking on Thatcher, throws up the X. Match is over. And due to Thatcher being unable to continue. I couldn't, like, in the live feed, I couldn't quite tell, like, what happened there, whether, like, either way, he landed wrong on the DDT, but I wasn't sure, like, what part of it was, whether he was just knocked out, or if he got, like, a stinger and he couldn't move, but, like, luckily he got his shoulder up and he was able to roll over onto his side pretty quick. But you could kind of tell by the way he was holding, like, his arm, like, he still wasn't with it or didn't have, like, full control over it. Because, you know, sometimes, like, when you see guys get knocked loopy, like, they just kind of, like, stiffen parts of their body. And that's kind of what was going on there. They would announce later that Thatcher had a concussion. I hope this wasn't the actual finish of the match. Like, that would be sucky, like, and, like, horrible. But on the flip side, like, this is legit, and I'm assuming it's legit. Good work on the referee to call it. However, they probably shouldn't have. I mean, if his shoulder was visibly up, he can't do much about it. But he should have probably just let the three count go. However, like, up until that point, like, it was a really good match if you like a hard-hitting, ugly version of the catch wrestling style, which I love it. As I said with, like, the calling stuff, like, I either want guys cutting each other with light tubes, or I want what I consider to be, like, pure wrestling, and catch is about as pure as it gets. And as I said, like, these two guys do a modified version of it, and I love it, and you could have hooked it up into my veins. But unfortunately, this match was not to be, and unfortunately, because of that, kind of became kind of like the weakest match of the night, which, I mean, it's a pretty high bar to, like, someone's going to be the worst for something like this awesome. But, like, I guess if you can't finish your match, that'll do it. We get a plug for the MLW draft that is back. We are having the first two rounds here tonight. The first pick is Kevin Blackwood, a guy on the rise on the indie scene. I've heard his name bandied around, and I think he'll be a solid pick. Like, he's a good hand to have on him. Very popular with the other talent. Like, all the folks that, like, I follow on social media rant and rave about him. So he's, like, one of those wrestlers. So I'm excited to see what he will do, and if he will live up to the legacy started by Alex Kane here. And it, you know, it may not surprise me if he does. Like, there's a lot of good things to be said about Kevin Blackwood. Number one draft pick, MLW draft, baby. All right, our next match is the Country Whipping match. Sam Adonis versus Mance Warner. Sam puts himself over as selling out all of North America. Of course, he is a good heel and just gets the crowd riled up against him. Match starts out, Mance corners Sam and basically starts the match off at the violence party in the corner, you know, the punches, chop punch combos. Adonis goes outside to stall and Mance hits him with a chair. There will be no stalling here, son. Sam straps Mance's head and then they just tee off on each other with the leather straps. Mance is sent into the barricade. Sam introduces a ring board, callback to their last match. Sam digs, gets a screwdriver out and just digs into Mance's forehead. Mance is bleeding heavily. We now have a 2-foot-long screwdriver for some odd reason. Like, I don't even know what that's logistically used for outside of gouging Mance Warner's head. This is the official point where we get an update on Timothy Thatcher that he does have the concussion. Meanwhile, inside the ring, we get a flip-flop and fly by Mance Warner. DVD through the board by Sam Adonis. Only gets a 2 count, though. When, like, for the first time forever, we get to see some Lucha goons come out here. The Lucha henchmen are out. They are 3-on-1-ing Mance. About 30 years later, the rest of the second gear crew come out, furthering my opinion that the one called Manders is a terrible teammate. However, they do have Microman, so officially the sides are even. Microman uses a kendo stick on Sam Adonis and then just eats a boot, and it's hilarious. That never gets old. I love Microman, but that never gets old. Never gets old, man. Mance hits a low blow, then choke slams Adonis through the board. Knee pad up, knee pad down. 1, 2, 3. Academic at this point. Your winner, Mance Warner. We get Sam Laterna with Mr. St. Laurent. He calls Microman a thief and old news. He announces the new news in professional wrestling. It is the World Titan Federation, WTF matey, ha ha ha. And with it comes the second round of the MLW draft, and it's the indie god, the indie killer, deathmatch king, Matt Cardona? Dude! You know, on one hand, this shouldn't surprise me because the man's legit everywhere. But, dude, that surprised me. It's like, I didn't think we'd see much of Cardona on TV outside of the big boys, you know, with his current shtick going on. But, nope, we're going to get Matt Cardona. He is linked with Mr. St. Laurent and his World Titan Federation. Our next match is The Calling versus the Samoan SWAT team. Fans bring the weapons for the World Tag Team Championship. Before the match starts, there's just brawling everywhere. Delirious is out, Fatu's out, the gas mask dudes are out, everyone's just getting beat on. Fatu's let out in handcuffs. Like, for some odd reason, security cares about him and not Dr. Cornwallis, not Delirious. We got to play with a garbage can. Kira is bleeding. And Ricochet and Paige has a nightstick. Seems to know how to use it, too. Akira gets a hold of a barbed wire game console. It looks like a OG Xbox, possibly. I never did get, like, a good answer to what that was. It's wrapped in barbed wire, and then it is kicked across the face of Lance Anawai. That looked like it hurt. We go brawling outside. There's a malfunction at the junction as RSP takes out Akira with the garbage can. Samoan drop on a cactus by Lance Anawai on Akira. The gas masks and the Delirious is back out. Fatu is broken out of his handcuffs and he's coming out of here. Akira Meteora's juicy through a table, and then RSP DDT's lands off the top rope through a table to get the pin. Gee, man, that match was nothing but chaos of the finest variety. I was thoroughly entertained. This is kind of like what I like to see. As I said, diametrically opposed to my wrestling. I either want it catch style or want just guys with weapons everywhere. And this was diametrically opposed to the Thatcher Williams match. I'm all for it. I'm kind of surprised. There's a part of me that's surprised that SST dropped the titles, even though I don't see where SST could go from here with the championships. However, like, I'm also curious with the double title thing. They haven't done that in quite some time either. With Akira now holding the tag team championship and the middleweight championship as well. We are now ready to get the big reveal of the backer for the Beaumaye Fight Club, and it is none other than the shambling corpse of Don King. He is financing the Beaumayes. We cover this in a lot of detail this past Monday, so you guys can check that out on the UWN network. But I pointed out that I'm not quite a fan of this move overall, because I think it's stunt casting. I don't think King is going to hang around in any capacity. At best, they will just randomly name drop him. And like, yes, he is a legend in boxing, but he also hasn't been relevant in the sport in like 20 years. And he's certainly not going to do much of anything now. And I don't see him coming in, cutting promos or anything like that. So I don't quite see the point of it. Like, I think the Beaumayes, like, if they had to have like a financier, like, they should have had someone who's going to, you know, stick around and help out. And I don't think this is helping. But evidently I am alone amongst the group in that opinion. So I don't know. Hit me up on social media. What'd you guys think of Don King? I know he hit up the mainstream sports news cycles, but like, that doesn't mean it's actually popular. Anywho, going to move on to the best part of the evening, the musical debut by Becca. She's got backup singers / backup dancers. Like, I'm impressed. Nothing like bad happened here in this concert. Usually something like goes wrong. I didn't know. It was thoroughly entertaining. I enjoyed myself. Like, the worst thing that happened was a deranged fan that looked suspiciously like Love Doug come out and had to be drug away by security. But he waited till like the very end of the song for that to happen. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. You know, they kept it simple. So like, this may be like the greatest professional wrestling concert I've ever seen, just because they played to her Becca's strengths. And she's like, got it, folks. Again, 2024 is going to be the year of Becca. But she is thoroughly entertaining. They played to her strengths. So it wasn't like, what's his face at like the Royal Rumble killing everything, or the Chris Warren band demolishing. It was a God Bless America at one of like the In Your Houses or whatever. But this was a lot of fun. All right, it is time for our main event of the evening. Alex Kane versus Alex Hammerstone for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. Kane has a rapper with him. He is no Becca. I'm not sure who he was. I don't think commentary put it over, so I apologize on that front. Hammer has a haircut, so that's a thing. However, the crowd is thoroughly behind Alex Kane. So what you saw on TV, what we saw on Fusion previously, like, has gotten, I don't want to, like, better or worse, depending on how your views of the crowd cheering for Kane. But it was definitely like 99% pro Kane this here crowd. The match starts out with Kane out wrestling Hammer, which, I mean, I don't want to say it was not hard to do, but like, Kane's a pure grappler for the most part, and Hammer's a power dude. Kane suplexes Hammer and sends him outside out of a rear naked choke. They fight outside for a bit. Hammer just gets chewed up on a spot with strikes. Kane hits a splash on the ring apron. Of course, that is the hardest part of the ring. We get elbows and an exploder out in the process too. Hammer's color is off. This is where I notice it. Like, he's purple. Like, I don't know if it's just a combination of his tan and just like how hyped up he is, or if there's just something else going on with him. But yeah, his color is off, and like his demeanor is a touch off as well. And I think the demeanor part is more like the crowd. Like I don't think really anybody expected the crowd to be so pro Kane. And like it kind of, I think it threw Hammer off his game a wee bit. Not like enough to like do anything really negative with the match, but otherwise, like, it was kind of noticeable. Dragon Suplex causes Hammer to hammer up and taunt the crowd, so this is where, like, any fears I had for his health, like, kind of subsided for a bit, but Hammer made it a point to hammer up on each side of the ring so everybody in that arena could see it and let him know, you know, F you, buddy. he is gonna win regardless of what the crowd wants. Get a power slam for two, followed up by a burning hammer. And, like, this is part where, like, I start, like, going, like, oh, gosh, like, the Hammer might actually pull out the victory here. He's, like, hitting these combos and getting some close calls out of it. And Kane, though, hits pay dirt and then locks in the rear naked choke. We get an angle slam. That only gets a two count. Superplex gets two. Nightmare pendulum. Like, Hammer hits it. That's his finish. Like, no one kicks out of that, but Kane had the wherewithal to roll out of the ring. So we don't get the pinfall on that. Kane kicks the rope, so we get a super gut wrench suplex by Kane onto Hammer. A Hammer again, like, hitting those power moves, but Mr. Thomas is there to distract up on the ring apron. Gets hit by a knee by Kane for his efforts. Accidental, of course. However, due to the distraction, Kane does get to lock in that rear naked choke. Hammer is fading fast, and he taps. Taps, ladies and gentlemen. There is no denying what happened there. Your winner and new MLW World Heavyweight Champion, Beaumaye Fight Club, Alex Kane. He gets on the mic after the match, you know, thanks the crowd for being with him day one is H. And just, you know, we're gonna see where we go from here. Excuse me. We're just gonna see where they go from here. Beaumaye. Yeah, I don't know what else I could say about this that I haven't taken a part of this week. It was a really good match, and they actually kind of had me for a moment where it did look like either competitor could win, even though we were thoroughly predicting that Kane was going to be crowned the new champion, which obviously he was. Very excited to see where we go from here, because Hammer, like, on the champion end, Hammer has held a title for, like, the last 4 years in MLW. Like, he's pretty much never been without a championship, and this is his first time without a title in quite some time. So what happens to Hammer? Is he leaving the company? Is he going to retool himself? He got a haircut. I guess that's something. And, of course, I'm also interested to see where we go with Alex Kane and how we, where he goes next, what feuds are awaiting him, and how, you know, how his matches turn out, because a champion, once again, is only as good as his challengers. And I feel like that's kind of where, like, Hammer had to stall out for a bit, was basically he just, like, could, like, his challengers weren't there. He's having a handful of good matches, but they're, like, especially by the end, and then once, like, they let Kane have the live mic, it was over from there. So I'm just curious to see where both gentlemen are going. But this was a very strong showing by MLW, their first big event back, their first live event in nearly 4 years. Highly recommend if you guys have Fight Plus. So if you haven't checked that out, you know, do it. Please do. In the meanwhile, I'm going to take a break because that's a lot of talking. We still have Fusion to review, so in the meanwhile, I'm going to go get myself an energy drink. You should probably go do the same, and I'll be back un momento. If you're like me, sometimes you need a pick-me-up to get you through the day. I drink Raise Energy for that pickup. Raise comes in a bunch of different flavors, and more recently, Italian Ice, which is great, by the way. And it contains no sugar, so there's no crash after you drink it. And really, like, best of all, if you go through me and go to wetrepsports.com, use my code CASS, you get 15% off your order. So, also, be like CASS, drink Raise Energy. All right, now that we've taken care of the magic that was Never Say Never, how will Fusion hold up? How will Fusion start off this new Alex Kane era for Major League Wrestling. As I said, there are two ways to find out, and we're going to go through one of them right now. It is MLW Fusion 173 Triple Threat Main Event, but we got a lot of action to cover before we get there, so let's jump right in. There is a press conference with the Beaumayers. Mr. Thomas is entirely too angry for whatever it is that's going on. Kane does get his speaking in, and he talks about knocking down all the barriers that have been placed in front of him. Talks about respect, about the older generation, respect to the newer generation. And to be frank, Kane has never respected Hammerstone, and still doesn't respect Hammerstone. We get our introduction, and we are welcomed to the show by Joe Dombrowski and Matt Stryker. They run down the card for this evening. We are going to start off the show with a Women's Featherweight Championship rematch as Taya Valkyrie with John Hennigan will be taking on Delmi Exo. But first, we get a promo from Taya. It's rematch time. She's been underestimated for all of her career, somehow. And she's gotten to where she is by leaving, you know, a bunch of dead bodies in her wake. Meanwhile, Delmi Exo's with Sam Laterna, and La Guerra Loca is going to be sent packing back to Jacksonville. Match starts off with chops and dodges. Taya ducks outside of the ring, but eats a basement dropkick. Outside of the ring is Taya's playhouse, though, and takes control, finishing things up with an electric chair drop on the ring apron, which happens to be the hardest part of the ring, if no one's ever said that in the history of professional wrestling. We go to break, and inside the ring, Taya is stomping away at Delmi in the corner. We get 10 beats of the Bowery, and the ropes does a little stop because you got, that ref actually bothered to count sometimes. Got the 5 count on the rope break there. However, Delmi dodges a kick in the ropes and hits a backstabber, followed up by a cradle fisherman suplex for 2. Missile dropkick after that gets a 2 count as well. However, Taya gets loose and hits a big curb stomp and dances around for a bit before hitting another curb stomp in the corner. This only gets a 2 count, and that kind of drives me crazy, but I'm just going to shrug it off like I'm Leo Rush selling things. We get finisher attempts traded off back and forth, mostly the road to Valhalla. Johnny leaves commentary to hop up on the apron and accidentally gets taken out by Taya with the assist of Delmi, of course. Delmi rolls Taya up and locks in an armbar Fujiwara style and really cranks and yanks away at that arm, and Taya has no choice but to tap. Your winner and still featherweight champion, Delmi Exo. Oh man, Taya had like no choice with the tap from there. Like she was just getting her arm rode like she's in a kayak or something off that. Thoughts on the match though. I'm happy, obviously happy Delmi got the win, and it was kind of a foregone conclusion that Delmi was getting the win, I guess. I mean, not technically, but this match was taped a while ago, so yeah. But despite what we can say about it, I don't think Delmi and Taya have very good chemistry. It just seemed like randomly clunky in a way that neither woman is normally in the ring. And that's fine. Like sometimes you just get like two people that just can't get on the same page no matter what. AJ Styles and Kevin Owens are notoriously like bad together in the ring, despite being very excellent professional wrestlers otherwise. But that being said, like this is another statement win for Delmi, which is great. Because again, I've said that championships are made by the challengers and the type of opponents that the champion has. And that being said, Delmi has done 2 statement victories in basically the equivalent of 1 week. So she's off to a very good start. We get a recap of Mr. St. Laurent's turn on Microman, and because of that, Mr. St. Laurent, MSL, no longer a friend of the show. No, not welcome back. That's a lie. He'll probably come back because I like money. But that being said, he is starting a new faction. He's already got Davey Boy Smith Jr. into his camp, and now with the number 2 draft pick of MLW, it's Matt Cardona. And regardless of how you feel about Cardona, he is a very big name in the realm of independent wrestling and a solid get for MLW, and he is joining the WTF. We go from this part to Sam Laterna. She is hanging out outside MLW CEO Court Bauer's office. There's a bunch of yelling going on, and Court stomps out, just saying, "Never do business with Don King." Well, duh. We go back to a draft recap. As stated, the MLW is holding their draft again, and the first two rounds took place at Never Say Never. Draft and pick number one was independent standout Kevin Blackwood, who unfortunately, as great as he actually is inside the ring, got overshadowed by the Matt Cardona draft pick, which, I mean, it's kind of hard to, you know, outdo that. But we are having pick number three tonight, and it is O'Shea Edwards, the big bad kaiju death to fake heavyweights, member of the Beaumaye Fight Club. And here's once again where I have problems with this whole draft concept. They've already announced the pickup of O'Shea Edwards, and now he's magically just part of the draft. Like, is it really a draft if you just already signed the guy? Like, but I'm not going to be salty about that, because, like, I am stoked for this signing. I am a big fan of the Big Bad Kaiju. I like hosses in my professional wrestling, and O'Shea is very much the definition of a hoss, and I'm excited to see what he is going to do. And he's going to be a solid get for the Beaumayes, in addition to my personal feelings on the draft pick. All right, we get our second match of the evening. It is Cash Flow Ken Broadway taking on the Silver Sniper, TJ Crawford. Both gentlemen have had a handful of matches in MLW, and we're going to have another one tonight, because I couldn't think of a good segue into that. Anywho, both tie up. Crawford is pushed into the ropes. Broadway does some You Can't See Me Cena action and gets the snot chopped out of his chest for his efforts. Broadway, though, is the larger competitor and uses his size to advantage, capping off a flurry of offense with a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker. Crawford gets some kicks in to take over. However, he is cut off by a nasty-looking discus clothesline by Broadway. A big offensive combo gets only a two count by Broadway. I can't read my notes. Like, that's anything unusual. Crawford kicks Broadway so hard in the face that his mouthpiece, like, went out into the third row. That was fun to see. Probably not so much fun to receive, but that's okay. I'm on this side of the screen. Crawford hits a double arm driver for two, followed that up by a big stunner, also for a two count. However, Broadway comes back with a full Nelson lift, German suplex, to get the three count. The crowd, like, was kind of to start the party, but by the end of it, the crowd was really eating up everything both guys had, which was good to see. I know the rest of the UWN guys really enjoy Broadway's work, and I've had no qualms seeing him in action in MLW. That's about the extent of what I've seen of him. And Crawford, you know, has always been solid, if not unspectacular, during his appearances. So, like, this is a perfectly serviceable match. I'm glad, again. But the crowd, you know, really got into it at the end, and that is the important thing. We get an announcement that the Opera Cup is coming back. It is going to be basically a two-round tournament this year. Brackets have been announced, with Davey Boy Smith Jr. taking on Calvin Tankman, and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams will be taking on the debuting Tony Deppen. This will start next week on Fusion, and then in 2 weeks we'll get the Williams and Tony Deppen match. It is time for our main event of the evening. Mance Warner joins us for commentary, so you know this is going to be a big deal here. As Willie Mack takes on John Hennigan with Sam Adonis and Leo Rush in a triple threat match to determine the new number one contender for the championship. They don't technically say which one, so I'm just going to assume it's the world championship. But, you know, never mind that. We're just going to have a match. Let's just have a match. Both Johnny and Leo just, like, duck out of the ring and argue back and forth. Like, they were doing the whole, like, standby of, like, oh, like, you can take care of him, and then let that guy take care of him while you hang out outside the ring. But while they're busy arguing, Willie takes them both out. Excuse me, I jumped way too far ahead of that because I'm a professional. He does take everybody out, but not yet. But first, he has to get beat down first. Sam Adonis sneaks in, causing a distraction. Then the Ruthos pop in and do their damage. Doing a lot of tandem offense, working quite well together. However, Mac is sent out of the ring, and the two Ruthos double cross each other with stereo kicks to the gut, and then doing their shtick inside the ring. Now, Willie Mac, he gets to come back in to take everybody out. But Johnny does get a low bridge from behind to kind of slow things down as we go to break. We come back, big standing moonsault gets a two count after Leo Rush breaks up the pinfall by Willie Mac, hits a big Poison Rana on Mac, and Mac's a big dude to be taking Poison Ranas, which, like I say, every time I see him take a Poison Rana. Rush, though, gets knocked the F out with a pop-up punch that's that everyone on commentary loved. However, with that going on, John Hennigan takes Willie Mac a two Dick Kick City, because that's legal, no DQs in a triple threat match. However, it's not enough to put Willie down. He starts making a comeback, but he's cut off by Leo Rush. Lope Suicidas by Leo onto everybody. I assume at this point he just retires, like, because that's what Leo Rush is doing. Match isn't over yet, just retired after that. However, while Leo Rush is retiring, Adonis grabs a hold of Willie's leg. However, John accidentally hits Sam, kind of a repeat of what happened earlier today. And in the meanwhile, Willie Mac rolls up Hennigan to get the three and is now the new number one contender. And that is our show. That is Fusion this week. I was worried it was going to be a lame duck show, but obviously it wasn't. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was very lean. It was meat and potatoes, but it told all the stories that it needed to in the meanwhile. Put over Alex Kane to start the party, put over the draft, got some things setting up for what looks to be Kane's first challenger coming up here in the future, in addition to still kind of having the seeds of Sam Adonis, Mance Warner, and John Hennigan as well. So it was a quick 45-minute show, and just, it went by fast, which at a certain level is always a good sign, because it means, like, you just lost track of time and everything was freaking awesome, baby. And that's what that was. That's what pro wrestling is. Freaking awesome, baby. All right, so with that going by, I've technically been talking for like an hour at this point, which is ungodly long for like these, for an episode of Confusion. Maybe I should have split it up, but that's for people who know better. In the meanwhile, though, catch me on the socials, follow up with the plugs that I'm going to do here at the end of the show. Check out the UWN boys. We're breaking down to snippets, and so it's easy to digest. That you can check those out at YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. In the meanwhile, do all those things, and I'll catch you all next week.
MLW Confusion is a weekly podcast that is written and performed by Rob Kammer and hosted by Spotify for Podcasters. MLW Confusion is part of the Urban Wrestling Network. You can check out the Underground Rundown on YouTube at Urban Wrestling NW. The background music for this section is Ruined My Day, performed by Alan Schroeder. If you enjoyed this podcast and like to support, please like, subscribe, and tell your friends, family, and enemies. Leaving a review is also helpful, because word-of-mouth advertisement is very important for small podcasts. My social media links can be found in the descriptor below, but the Twitter and Instagram are at the Nova of Cass. That's TheNovaOfCass, and MLW Confusion can be found on Facebook at MLW Confusion, all one word. If you'd like to support monetarily and help upgrade my equipment, please check out my virtual tip jar at ko-fi.com/Casanova. That's CassOnova. If you prefer more bang for your buck, go to patreon.com/Casanova. For as little as $1, Patreon backers get access to the podcast early and without those pesky ads, plus other exclusive content. So join the crew that is headed up by Keith Wynn and Alan Schroeder and check it out. You can also find t-shirts, coffee mugs, and other merchandise at the Confusion Podcast store on Teespring. You can find that link below as well. For all business inquiries such as ads, sponsorship, and other voiceover work, please email at rzkammer@comcast.net. Kammer is spelled K-A-M-E-R-E-R. Thank you all for listening.